Natalia, thank you for joining me today on Pop Culture Unplugged.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Exciting times, number one show on Netflix. How's your life been so far, last week and a half?
It's been crazy. I have an event later today, and yeah, it's just been the best type of crazy. This is the type of crazy that you dream about because you're doing things you love and you get to do all these things surrounding it, and I'm just really excited and really happy for everybody involved.
So we're going to jump into the show in a few minutes, everything too. But I was doing some research on you about your career and everything. You started acting at a young age. What made you get into the industry? What pushed you?
Yeah, so I actually started out at an even younger age in music, like not super professionally, but I was always drawn to creativity and art, and I did a lot of singing and playing instruments, and my vocal coach introduced me to my current acting coach because he thought acting would help my performance skills just overall. And ever since then, I've just really fallen in love with acting, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. And so I told my parents, and we started going to workshops, and oh my gosh, I made them drive me up to LA so many times, and I'm so grateful to my parents for putting up with that. But yeah, it's kind of been a whirlwind, and ever since then, I've been doing what everyone does, right? Auditioning, auditioning, auditioning. And I've been very fortunate to have landed many wonderful, really wonderful roles that I absolutely adore, and I've gotten to work with really great people.
What's been your parents' reaction to seeing you now on TV and film and everything you've done?
Yeah. I haven't asked them too much about that. That's a good question. I should probably ask them after this. But I know that, they're like pretty much the only ones who see the amount of work that I put into this whole thing, and they've put in so much work as well, whether that be driving me, getting me materials, right, doing self tapes with me. They haven't put in, like, I would say equal effort just to get me to where I am. And so when they finally get to see my effort really come to fruition in terms of seeing me on the screen, or and seeing my name come up in credits, I think it is fulfilling for them as well, because it's like our team effort finally paid off and we get to really see that come to life.
Now, do you still dabble with the music still, or are you just like 100% now on the acting?
I have never released music professionally. I think music is something for me that's always been very very personal and for my own enjoyment. And so I definitely still do that. I don't think that's something that I will ever stop. I sing like every day, and it's something that I really enjoy. And I think that, in the future I might consider, releasing music, but I think for now I'm still in a place where I'm focusing on my acting mainly, but I'm still writing songs, I'm still singing, I'm still doing those lessons, and it's something that's really fun for me, so I don't think I'll ever stop that.
Would you ever want to do a musical?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would love to do that is one thing. Yeah, I would really love to do like a musical movie, a musical stuff like that, because that really can combine my love for acting and music, and I feel like
Right.
that's the best of both worlds, yeah.
Who are like some of your acting inspirations or like role models that you look up to?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of necessarily Asian actress role models that I could look up to. I know, because when you're young and you want to play, like, oh, I want to play so and so's younger version, and I'm like, I don't know who looks like me. I don't know who I can play the younger version of. But especially after seeing, Fresh Off the Boat, of course, Crazy Rich Asians, like that type of stuff, where it's like really big scale Asian projects, and you're like, this is, you can really see the tides changing right in front of you, even if you're not involved in those projects. And I think that was really inspiring for me. I really felt a shift in the industry, because even from the beginning of my career to where I am now, there's been a huge shift in the types of roles that I can audition for. And when I started out in my career, when I would go to take headshots, they're like, but your look, I don't think you will go out for like main character roles, lead roles, blah, blah, blah. Your look, just realistically speaking, you're gonna go out for the nerd. And I was like, oh, okay. But realistically speaking, this is also just not a very realistic career. I'm here to like get headshots to do everything. And yeah, I can take some headshots like that, but I think it's been my parents who have been really inspiring me to like go out for all the roles and believe in myself that I can play
Right.
roles outside of stereotypes. And in terms of like specific role models, I really loved Lana Condor, and To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and all the rest of her work is also really wonderful. She does a wonderful job of transforming into her characters and playing really light characters as well as like darker characters. And I really love that. And Cate Blanchett, she's
Yeah.
marvelous. Helena Bonham Carter, she's just magical. And yeah, I don't know. I went off on a tangent there, but yeah.
That's okay. Do you have like a dream role that you want to maybe hopefully get in your hands someday? That
Yeah.
you always dream about?
I mean, this has to be like a dream role for me as well, being an avatar. But I really love, fantasy. I love, I mean, I grew up as like a huge Atla or Avatar, Harry Potter and Percy Jackson fan. And, I just love all those worlds where it really just it takes you into a whole different universe. And I would really love to do more fantasy projects like that, like this. And I would love to do, I feel like every actor says this, but like Supergirl is like at least once in a lifetime, right? Like you get to like do something like that where you get to, it's just such a different from real life, and it really is on another level. And I feel like I like doing everything kind of, and having a varied career where I get to play a variety of roles and get to explore different aspects of humanity and get to be myself, get to be other versions of myself, get to be things that are completely different from myself. I think all of that is just really appealing to me.
You mentioned like a superhero. How about a villain? Would you ever want to do that?
Yes, I think it's interesting because, well, I guess because my character's in Fire Nation, so like technically we're the bad guys. And I think I would really love to play a villain. I think a lot of people don't necessarily see me as that in real life, which is good. But I think it's fun to get roles where, you tell it to your friends and they're like super surprised. They're like, "Really? You're playing that?" I feel like that's super fun because you're like, "Yeah, I get to play something that's super different from myself, and like I get to do acting. Like that's what we do." Yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah, let's jump into your role now as Maya. Did I read somewhere you didn't originally go for this role at first? Did you go for a different role?
Yeah, I did. I went out for, because they were under code names. So I
Yeah.
could only decipher it in retrospect. I was like, oh, wait, that's the role I was auditioning for, like Suki. And then I also auditioned for Ty Lee right before auditioning for May. And at the time, they had completely different names. I don't remember the code name for Suki, but I remember that Ty Lee was Tara or Tara, whatever, and May was Molly. And so I was like, wait a minute, these characters are very familiar. And especially once I was like, I didn't know they were making a live action adaptation of this. So I was kind of, I didn't even know that was a possibility until I looked into it. I was like, no, this is really like real.
So you didn't you, so you had no clue that you were going in for pretty much the Last Airbender. When did you realize this was going to be a
I
live
think
action?
it was a little later into the process. I think it was like by the call. I don't even remember. Did I come back twice or it's been a while. I think it was before my callback that I had where I got to like meet with Albert and everybody. And I think at that point they had already seen my materials because of my other characters. But I got to kind of meet with them, chat with them, and they were all super super nice and warm and friendly. And I was like, I really want to work with these people. And it happened, and I'm very, very grateful.
Now, were you mostly excited that you got the role of May, or were you like, did you kind of want the other roles at first?
You know what? I hadn't formed an attachment to any particular role.
Okay.
If anything, I'd form an attachment to the project, because especially
Yeah.
once I found out what it was, like it is such a blessing just to be able to be involved in a project like this with people like this. I'm great. I'm really, really grateful for my role, and I think my role in particular for me has been such a wonderful challenge in certain aspects, and something that I think is just perfect for me. It came at the perfect time in my life for me. And yeah, it's, I think Ty Lee, I know a lot of people say in real life I give like Ty Lee energy, but Momona Tamada, who plays Tylee, does such a wonderful job embodying that, and I'm like, she is just so perfect for that. And this has just been so different for myself that I just really love it.
So what's been like your experience playing this character? How does that make you feel?
Oh, it has made me feel so many things. It's been really exciting, I think. Overall, it was really interesting to it's a new process for me watching the cartoon with an eye for I'm gonna be doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, with my previous projects, the previous series I did, Council of Dads, was based on a book. However, my character it was kind of based on it, as opposed to imitating a character from it, because my character wasn't in a book because it's new. So when you got new material, you have no expectations, you know, regarding that, and you're not really trying to be somebody or trying to imitate somebody else's work. For this, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily trying to imitate Cricket's work, Cricket, who voiced the original May, but I would say that I'm trying to take some of what she did, especially in terms of her voice and the demeanor of the way the character was drawn, and I'm trying to bring that to life in a way that still feels grounded in reality and very real for me. And that was really, really fun.
How did you like approach it? You mentioned the voice. People want to know, like, how did you approach the pro? What was the process like finding the voice of my?
A lot of sounding really odd, like, like trying to get my voice. Like, I feel like right now my voice is a little bit raspier from the yelling I've been doing. Don't worry, guys. It's just, yeah, don't worry. But yeah, I feel like her voice has like that rasp to it, and it's also placed a little bit lower. So I knew I wanted to bring my voice down because, especially when I'm excited, my pitch goes up. But being a singer, you know, we play with pitch and range a lot, and I felt pretty comfortable in my lower ranges, especially now. But yeah, lowering that pitch, bringing a little bit more air into that, like so it can get like a breathier sound, and then introducing some like the rasp into it. I think that was really like kind of a concoction, if that makes sense. And yeah, I think it was a playing around with it a bit, because I know a lot of the other actors as well. You have to be able to do the voice while also making it feel natural for you. Otherwise, you're just so focused on of doing a voice and trying to imitate somebody else that you lose yourself in that, and you can't really be present while you're filming the scene, and that really just takes away from everything.
I don't want to talk too many spoilers, you know, because people are still watching the series, but
Yeah.
we have a couple scenes with you with a little knife flip and everything. How did you learn that? Or before going on set, did you have like any practice? Like, tell us about the process of that.
So I have martial arts experience, however, I'm not experienced with weapons in particular. So when I got there, I was very upfront with them. Like, I do not know how to handle weapons. Like, my dad collects knives, but I am not throwing them at people. So, what are we gonna do here? And the wonderful stunt training team is like, oh no, we got you covered. So they taught me how to do that knife flip. It was really fast. Like, it was about like 15 minutes before we started shooting. And I was like, guys, I need somebody help me. And so they taught me that. And they're like, if you can't do it, that's fine. We're just not going to have a knife flip or anything of the sort in this episode. And I was like, no. I really want to do something with my knives, just because it's such a large part of her character. And it just speaks so much to her story. Even if, you know, we don't get a lot of scenes and stuff like that, I think that's a really crucial part to include. So he was like, okay, I can figure something out. And so we were just standing there. We were watching them set up the cameras. I'm like, okay, quick. I have to learn how to do this. And I was just practicing over and over again. I'm like, okay. And I was really nervous when I got on to the volume. I stepped into the volume and I was like, okay, I have to deliver my lines, do that correctly, and then I have to make this knife flip look at least somewhat natural. And yeah, I mean, it worked out, so I'm grateful for that. And thank you to the camera people, the stunt team, and everybody else for making that look
So
good.
I believe in the animation, your character, we don't see her till like the second season of that, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right away into the first season of this. If we see a season two, do you hope you get more fighting scenes now in season two?
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm looking so forward to those fighting scenes because, originally in this season we had a fighting scene, although it was not like, it's not like a crucial part of the plot, so you're not, guess you're not missing anything. But we had a little fighting scene, and it was kind of like a practice scene where you see me and the girls, we're just training, and that was super, super fun, and we got to go to stunt training for that, and I want to do more stuff like that because it really was fun, and we had our stunt doubles, and I think because of the nature of our clothing, it was, well, that was an adjustment. We have like those pointed boots, and we have layers and layers of clothing, so like learning how to move in that was really interesting because that was really different from stunt training. We're like, okay, we got this down. They're like, oh no, you've got to do it in the clothing, in character, and all of this stuff. We're like, okay, this is it's a really fun challenge.
So also with your character too, like in the animation, like what do you think, first of all, like what do you think of like Mai's future going forward? Do you think like a relationship with Zuko, kind of like the animation, or you think you're gonna try to spin it off, do something different? What do you think?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm not a writer, so I don't really have control over the narrative here. However, I do know, like, that is a significant part of the story, I think, especially into book three. So, fingers crossed we get that far. I do believe that the writers are aiming to be faithful to the source material in terms of overall character arcs. And while, certain plot elements might be intertwined in order for time purposes and other stuff like that, I think overall we're still going with the original character arcs, at least from what I've been told. But we'll see, right? Fingers crossed for season two. And when I get those scripts, we'll see what happens. And I'm excited. Yeah.
You mentioned challenges earlier too with Mai. Like, what do you think was like, how did you overcome some of these challenges for this character that you played?
Yeah, I think it was also re like reflecting on myself and the way that I express myself. I feel like I have tendencies to be very expressive and very happy. Like when I interact with people, especially because that's just, you get positive feedback from that. Like people respond well to that when you're growing up. And so this becomes a part of who you are. That's why like environment plays such a large role in the way that you turn out. And for May, she gets positive feedback when she is not showing a lot of emotions, when she's quiet, when she's well behaved, and that's why she turned out the way that she turned out. So understanding the differences in the way that we were raised and the differences in our environment and how that played a role in the way we express ourselves. And I think to not just I didn't want her just to be just deadpan, because at the end of the day, that I think she's still a human. Like, not I think, yes, she is still a human, and we have emotions, and even if you appear deadpan, you still have all those human emotions underneath. So that is something really interesting to explore, because at the end of the day, we are connected by our humanity, and we express ourselves differently, but it's all there, and we have to connect like internally.
The Last Airbender has it. The fan base is huge. I mean, there's like forums and
Absolutely.
Facebook pages and all that stuff. Like, what's been like the reaction for the from the fans now seeing a live show of this for the from the animation?
Yeah, I think it's just been like a lot of people and from all over the globe too. I did not expect that, and I really appreciate all the people who have been sending like love and support at these times. And I know that there are people out there who have troubles with certain aspects of the way things are portrayed, because that is the nature of the way things are going to be when you adapt such a beloved work of art. And this is something that they've really connected to, and they're really attached to that version of this. And at the end of the day, we are a different version of it. We're not going to be exactly that, and we're never trying to be exactly the original. But we made this for the people who can appreciate, a new iteration of this, a new version of Avatar for, a new generation as well. And I really want to thank people for the love that they've given.
Last question, Avatar. What's been like your favorite moment throughout all this?
Ooh, that one's difficult. I would say when we went out to karaoke, That might have been my favorite moment, just because, like, in that moment, it was kind of like realizing about all the wonderful people I got to be surrounded with, and and I really loved working with these people, and it's kind of like that kind of just sunk in, and we got to just have fun, and that's what we were really doing all day on set. We were just having fun, and that, yeah, we all just got to be together, and that was worthwhile. Although I think a close second has to be sneaking through some of those sets, because that was fun. We got to go, where did we go? They were like half built. We got to go into like some of the Fire Nation sets, and we got to see like the green screens, and oh my gosh, they have so much cool stuff. Guys, I hope there's some like behind the scenes footage of this, because it was so cool, and I think everybody deserves to see that.
Amazing, amazing. So what's next for you now? Any other projects you'll have to tell us about that you're coming out or you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like ever since, we had the SAG strike last year, I feel like ever since that, I've actually been much more involved in music composition than I had been before. Because before that, you're just going audition after audition after audition, and then filming and all that stuff, and it gets busy, and there's only 24 hours in a day. But with the SAG strike, I was like, okay, well, what can I do in this time? What do I want to do with my time creatively? What's going to be fulfilling for me if I can't be auditioning right now? And music just, was always there for me. And so I was like, I think I want to take some time with this. And I did. And I wrote some more songs, and I'm still working on some songs and stuff like that. And yeah, I really am considering like dropping music someday. I just don't have a timeline for it yet.
There you go. Talia, how can the listeners and the fans of The Last Airbender find you on social media to keep up with you for hopefully
Right.
soon we hear about a season two? Where can they find you?
Yeah. Let's see if I can remember my Instagram handle is thalia underscore underscore tran. So my first underscore first name underscore underscore my last name. From there, you will, in my bio, you'll see my usernames for my other platforms, because I don't remember those at the moment. I should probably learn those so that I can tell people. But yeah.
That's awesome, Talia. I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes today. This was great. Hopefully, we hear about a season two and then we can get you back on and continue on about your character and everything else.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Yes.
Thank you.